Clearly, I'm not sure if y'all even need me here this morning, because I'm good with that. But I guess since I'm here and I've been working on this now for, 2 months, I should deliver the message I put together. Thank you. Before I start, for those of you who know this prayer, I will ask that you pray it with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So when I was asked to give the message for today, I have to be honest. I had already been warned. It wasn't a surprise at all. Don had made it known to me for a very long time that this day would come. I think I put it off, just kind of saying, yeah, whatever. So when I was asked to do this for today, I honestly said, what am I going to preach on? And I said, I'll just stick with the lectionary, because somebody more wise than me said this is a good scripture for today. So hence you have the scripture that was read to you. I like gospel reading, so I was like, I'm going to go with that. And we have one of our favorite passages from Luke, right? It is not the prodigal son. No, it is not the good Samaritan, but it's close. I don't know about you, but sometimes scriptures just become words on paper or words that are spoken to me and I'm not really listening. So if it's okay with you, and I think George did an amazing job reading that today, but I'm going to reread it. So starting with Luke 12, verses 49 to 56, it reads, I came to cast fire upon the earth and would that it was already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and I am constrained until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For henceforth in one house there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against her mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And then he said to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why don't you know how to interpret the present time? I'm just going to sit for a second and let that most uplifting scripture just wash over you. Right? I honestly can imagine the fun we would have with that in Sunday school. I wasn't there this morning. Hopefully y'all had a great time. But I can say when I was getting ready for this, it was really important for me to read and reread that scripture. I pulled out every translation I had to say maybe it was going to say something different. And it really did challenge me to take a little bit deeper look at, like I said, what just can be words on a page. So with that, my objective this morning is really just to share with you some of the ideas that have come to my mind as I was preparing for this morning. Soon after I decided to preach on this topic or on this scripture, John and I were having a conversation. I don't remember the conversation details. I wish I could. But I remember in the conversation saying, knowing is half the battle. And John immediately responded, yep, G.I. Joe. For those of you who don't know me, I'll give you a little bit of information about me. I like to know everything. Okay? But I didn't know that. I had no idea that G.I. Joe coined the phrase, but I played it off really well. I just didn't make any more comments about it. Like, okay. I was clueless. But it got me thinking, even as children playing, we're introduced to some major life lessons. Yeah, knowing is one thing, but what we do with what we know is something different. And I think we all know that our ideal situation is for our actions to line up with our values. So when we know something better, I think we can do something better. Clearly, I can see a direct parallel in this famous statement that I now know was coined by the creators of G.I. Joe, and the statements, harsh as they may feel, made by Jesus. He is pointing out that once we know better, we have no choice but to do better. I moved back to Florida in 2011, and I took a job at the VA. And my first day was exactly on January 3rd, and I can remember it because it was my birthday. What a day to start a new job. And as many of you know, working at the VA affords its opportunities, as employees, many opportunities to learn from our mistakes. Yeah, we make many of them. Often we set out with the right intention, and before we know it, we have run completely aground. But that's not always the case. In my time there, I've seen some accomplishments that have made amazing changes in the life of our veterans and our employees. We often develop partnerships in the VA, and it's not easy developing a partnership in the VA with the community or with other government organizations. One of the partnerships that we created was with the Palm Beach County's natural areas. These are pockets of land that have been selected to be set aside and preserved in their most natural state. And often that includes really making effort to not let what they call invasive species come in because they can cause the native species to become unable to survive. And one mechanism they use to help with this is what they call prescribed burns. I'm guessing for those of you who live around here, you've probably heard this term before. You might hear something like this on the news. In Bell Glade today, you might see smoke. Don't be concerned. It's part of a prescribed burn. We've heard those types of things. Clearly, the county has come to appreciate that even the earth has learned to use fire as a means of survival. It allows plants that can very easily become overgrown, and when they become overgrown, they don't let the sunlight in. So by burning off the underbrush, it allows the natural foliage to survive. I can see a parallel between nature's efforts to thrive and our ability to thrive in relationship with God. It is up to us to pay attention to the things that get in the way of our relationship with God flourishing. Maybe it's laziness, maybe it's self-doubt, maybe it's wanting to control situations, maybe it's a judgmental attitude, maybe it's always needing to be right, maybe it's feeling unworthy and small, or perhaps it's destructive behaviors. Whatever it may be, we need to pay attention because we can make choices that ensure that these issues don't obscure our relationship with God. With that in mind, as I reread today's scripture, picture this with me. Jesus is passionate. He is overflowing with excitement. And at the same time, he's probably exhausted and anxious. He has a most important message that he is trying to communicate. If you go back to the prior chapters, he has spent so much time getting folks to appreciate what is about to come, as well as how to incorporate his principles into their lives. And after all of this teaching, the response he gets from one of his trusted few, Peter, is he asks a simple question. Hey, Jesus, is this just for us 12 disciples? I don't know about you, but in my version of this story, and Don likes to tell us it's okay to come up with our own versions, I honestly picture Jesus looking at Peter like, are you not getting it at all? He doesn't say that, but he just gives him a look that communicates it. And he probably turns around and walks out of the room because he can't put together words to respond to that question. And then slowly he makes his way back in and he says, "Friends, I've got to make this clear." And then our scripture picks up. I can then appreciate Jesus' statement in today's scripture as yet another attempt to communicate his mission. And he is excited about casting this fire upon the earth. He wishes it were already started, because he knows the result of that fire is truly to renew the face of the earth. Just as nature uses lightning to start fires that are much needed, he wants to start a fire. He's excited to renew what we can already have in Jesus Christ. As children, we sing about it. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine," right? And then as adults, we often try our best to just blend in. I'm just going to go through my motions. Don't say anything. Don't make any quick movements. Just blend in. Jesus is really letting us know that he has a purpose to fulfill, and he's informing everyone listening, including the crowd, that we do too. Often we go through our lives not focusing on how many weeds have begun to grow up in our front yards. My mom will tell you. The bushes get so tall that nobody can see us. Nobody can see anything we stand for. All that is seen is overgrown underbrush. And that can suffocate our spiritual life. Jesus doesn't just stop there, though. He continues the point. He comes to bring division, even among those that we are closest with. Sometimes in our lives, we have to make decisions. Decisions to live a life that is consistent with our values. Sometimes that means we have to eradicate things that are in our lives that separate us from our relationship with God. He told us it isn't all about peace, and deciding to live with our values isn't easy, and the process of ridding our lives of those things that don't fit, I'm going to be honest, are anything but peaceful as we're going through it. I know for myself that this scripture is a great reminder that when I want to stop and just let the ways of the world consume me because it just feels easier, I need to stop and instead keep clinging tight to what we learned as children. Last week, Brian, in part of his communion meditation, he shared about a prior football Gator player, Florida football player, who due to a brain aneurysm was left needing much ongoing medical care. When he began the story, I made eye contact with Eddie. We had a moment. The next thought that I had was, I think I should end my offertory prayer with "Go Canes." I didn't. As he continued the story, I was convicted. I recognize that Jesus, although he likely wasn't talking about Canes versus the Gators, he was speaking to the multitude in the Gospel of Luke. And he reminded me that we can very easily find reasons to separate ourselves from others. In today's passage, Jesus lets us know, don't be caught off guard by interpersonal conflict. Those that we are closest to can sometimes be hurt by our careless actions. Often those are the same actions that occur when we are truly not living our values. I know that my faith and willingness to follow is not always dialed up to 100, and I guarantee yours isn't either. But I am thankful that even when I am behaving more like a person from the crowd, I am not written off. Even when I am unfaithful or doubtful, I am still provided with opportunities to strengthen my relationship with God and ultimately with other human beings. We are told in this passage, there will be ongoing civil wars. He makes it plain. We see it now. We don't need to be surprised. Jesus in this passage is telling us that he didn't come to bring peace. He came to deliver a message. Yes, I believe this message is one of love. But he foreshadows that not everyone is going to accept this message of love that he is freely giving. I think it's also going to be a lot of divide, because as we follow the charge to share the mission, others are spreading a mission that is counter to it. We don't have to stop. Jesus reminds us that in this passage we have a choice. We can choose to live a life that aligns with the values of Jesus, or we can choose not to. I think the greatest divide, honestly, is the one within ourselves when we continue to know better and not do better. Remember, as children, we're introduced to that message. We can be reminded of it now. Jesus didn't hold back from sharing much-needed information with those who he was closest because he was afraid of their reaction. He knew that in order to best prepare themselves for what was to come, they needed to be prepared for difficulties, challenges, and setbacks because they were most certain. My guess is the disciples were likely wearing rose-colored glasses most of the time. And in this passage, I think Jesus is saying, and maybe it doesn't feel such a loving way, but he's saying to his disciples and to us, I love you too much to allow you to keep those glasses on. I need you to be fully present because what lies ahead will require much, and it isn't going to be easy. There have been times when I have been guilty of going through life with glasses on as well. Sometimes they're rose-colored. Other times they're glasses of selfishness or control. Even me. By living a life with those glasses on, I guarantee you we begin to overlook the underbrush that's growing up around us. We lose sight of our mission. When I start to put on those designer shades of selfishness and control, it leads to division. There are times when the people that I care deeply about have been hurt by my attempts to control and my inability to see past my own desires and wants. And to make it worse, I've been guilty of justifying it. When I think back on some of these times, the thing that sticks out most is just how difficult it is to acknowledge that I actually have to look at myself and what I was doing that was harmful. There were overgrown weeds I needed to prune. So I encourage you, when you come across scriptures like the one from today, don't hesitate to look deeper. We don't have to simply write it off as, I have bad days, so I guess Jesus was having one too. And we don't have to have the opposite reaction. Gosh, when it comes to God, it's always fire and brimstone. Instead, we can challenge ourselves and say, what is life's lesson in this for me? Perhaps it's an opportunity to be reminded about what we might have learned long, long ago, and somewhere along the way, we lost it. I know for me, it was a reminder to move beyond knowing and continue taking action. It's as simple as G.I. Joe. When I start to recognize that my pattern is getting in the way of having a real relationship with God, do something about it. If it leads to division, I guarantee you that division will be worth it. Amen.